Paul, man, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
When did I know that I've been chatting with your wife quite a bit on DMs.
Yeah, she's all over this thing. Like, yeah. She loves the Instagram because she has this her own like kind of platform in regards to what she does, right? So
yeah.
She's more newer generation than I am, right? I'm very like old school, like I word of mouth. I don't like to advertise. I hardly even take pictures of my projects. Right, my
so you don't stop for a moment and smell the roses?
Sometimes, but it's honestly like you're showing a half product, meaning like I'd rather have like the fixtures installed, the glass shower, everything done, right?
And yeah.
It means me going back to the job and then taking the picture and like, who has time for that? Right? And I get it. I get it.
Like, it's part of the whole networking.
I know, and the visual aspect of it, yes, I should do it, but I'm always trying to move on to the next thing, right?
You one-man shop?
Yes and no. So it depends on the project. So okay. Generally, if I'm doing larger projects, let's say, so I work a lot with my cousins, those are my cousins as well, but Blue Marble and Granite.
Okay.
So they do a lot more natural stone slab work, right? So if we get projects, sometimes we're quoting, we're doing a tender for the whole house. Let's say, hypothetically, it's a 7,000-8,000 square foot house, and there's partial slab install and partial tile install. We'll quote the whole thing as a whole, and then we'll obviously feed off each other in regards to helping each other and this, that, and the other. So it depends, right? There's sometimes, I know you've had like Sabino here.
Yeah. I've had lots of
Sabino sometimes, like we'll try to fill each other's void. Right, if I got too much to workload or vice versa, we kind of like feed each other. Sometimes we're on a project together, whatever the case is, right? So it really depends.
Well, it's nice to hear that some trades are getting along.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, and the hardest thing, I agree wholeheartedly, that whole old school mentality of like, you know, they're always kind of like,
they're always
jealous of each other.
Yeah, are you going to stab me in the back first before you say hello?
My mentality is that you win, I win. You lose, I lose, right? That's the way it kind of should be all the time, right? So there's very far and few that you can do that with, right? I find, like, especially when it comes to family stuff. So
then you start factoring that.
So the problem is with what I do is a lot of my family's in this industry. What I mean by that is, so you have Marble Granite Depot, right? Which is the Rob Filomeni, Dino Filomeni, that is, so Dino generally runs Crystal Marble and Granite. Rob, Fausto, his brother, God bless him, passed away recently. They have the Marble Granite Depot, which is mostly tile. Now they started doing slab, large format porcelain, stuff like that. They just sell, right? So I can deal with him, right? Because we have a great relationship, right? Blue Marble and Granite, which is my other cousins, I very tight knit with them.
And what is it? Is Blue Mart?
Blue Mar.
Where are they located?
They're on Jane. They've been there a while.
Oh, so they're on Stone Road. Anybody who's not familiar with Toronto, Stone Road, basically, right?
Yeah, basically.
It's every warehouse there has got something to do with some sort of tile, stone,
they're
fabrication.
Jane, they're on Jane, the frontage of Jane. They've been there for over 20 years.
Okay.
The old man has been doing it for God knows how long. And that relationship is fantastic because we, you know, my cousin Joey, which is his eldest boy, we're like best friends, but we're cousins as well, right? Yeah. So our mentality is you win, I win, you lose, I lose. So we work very well together. It's very hard to do that with family, I find. So I have two of them in particular that I work with all the time. That there's no issues ever. There's no BS. There's none of that. It kind of works out really well.
I had an interesting message come in late last night. And first of all, hang on a sec. Everybody knows who I'm talking to here. So Paul De Marina, right?
De Maria.
De Marina.
De Maria.
So De Maria. De Maria. Yeah. Okay. So I always stumble on either saying it the European way or saying it the Canadian
way. Well, a lot of people say De Maria, which is D-I, right?
Yeah.
Where De, so it's De Maria. E space capital M.
Right? Yeah, but it's Paul De Maria. De Maria.
De Maria.
Yeah, because you got to go the Maria part, right? Yeah. That's what it is. Maria is the same, almost the same in Spanish, Portuguese, Italian. The way you pronounce it.
I would assume all three ways is probably the same.
I think it's probably done the same way, right? Maria.
Well, yeah.
Maria.
Maria. Maria. Yeah. Maria, right?
A Maria, exactly.
A Maria, that's what it means.
PVD Tile, you can find them on IG under PVD Tile. And then also their website is www.pvdtile.ca. Their email is pvd_tile@hotmail.com.
Yep.
And then it's 647-403-7251. We got a lot to talk about. First of all, let me just do the quick shout out. I got ZZ's cap on today. I'm going to be doing caps for a little while. But I want to just share this, and I'll just read it, because I like the message that was sent to me. And Jordan So he sends me this message. I love your show, but one criticism. Hey, just one, right? is you need to get more perspective from some new cultures in the trades. As a black carpenter in high rise, I see things from a different perspective, especially with the cultural differences between the Portuguese and the work mentality. Also, the difference between the new school and the old school. The old guys in the trailer were whining and talking about skill gap and carpenters, and the new generation doesn't care to make money for the company. I agree there is a gap, but I believe the problem is the old guys, especially the old Portuguese, like to stick to their own for the most part. Most older journeymen are burnt out, and why would I want to make my company money when I know there is no loyalty like the old days? Mm. So I said, listen, I don't shy away from messages like that. I don't think an insult. I don't take it negatively.
No, not at all.
I just responded. I go, dude, listen, I agree with you, and it's a conversation. I'd love to invite you on the show. So I'm going to have a future conversation with him on that, which I'm looking forward to it. And I would say that he's not wrong. And no. For the most part, when you get into construction, if it starts with family, then you start looking at the offspring. You start looking at cousins, siblings. Right. You start looking at everybody first.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, if you start growing from there, you go from there. But like you said earlier, family sometimes gets involved, and then that's how you get Adidas and Puma being built.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's,
like,
it's a very difficult, difficult situation in regards to family. It's just, there's a lot of, you know, me first, you second kind of stuff, to have the same mentality of going in the right, in the same direction. And like, again, I'm going to reference you win, I win, I lose, you lose.
Yeah.
You have to have that clear mind to say, okay, well, how do we fix it? Not who's to blame.
Yeah.
Right. Family is always very hard. That's why, you know, that whole saying, you know, blood's thick in the water. Is it sometimes really? I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard.
Money's right? Money. Money's the root of all evil. Yeah, when exactly. It comes to human nature.
Right. I'm fortunate. Like, I speak only for a couple of my relatives that I can deal with.
Yeah.
Right? And I have a lot of family in that industry, and I only choose to deal with two, but one in particular, if I needed a kidney, I would give it to them, right?
Yeah.
And
that's family. That's how
Blumar,
it is.
Right? That's my cousin Joey. Yeah. Was not only one of my he was my best man at my wedding, one of my best men because I had two, but also in regards to the relatives, and my best friend.
Yeah. Right?
So, and their family, their father, everybody's fantastic. And again, we've kept that for a very long time. And going into projects, like, there's no BS. There's no and thank goodness for that. But that's a rarity. It is a rarity, right?
But in all fairness, like, every culture is doing that. Like, when I start seeing one Croatian person, or I start seeing one Russian person, yeah. I'm like, I start to see more of them.
Yeah.
And I get it. We all do it. Same thing with, I mean, yeah. If you see one Jamaican, you're going to see another Jamaican.
100%.
That's just what happens, right? 100%. And that's who they go to. And then, sure, you can have the argument today about immigrants coming into this country. They're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You can't fault them.
No.
Because it's their same, like, environment. They want to be reassuring themselves.
But there's
right?
also the turn there, whereas if they start helping each other, then they'll start backstabbing each other.
And it happens.
And that's the thing. That's why I say it's very far few in between that you can actually do that with, because eventually somewhere down the road is that they're stabbing each other in the back. Right?
But it's kind of weird for me to look at it, because I mentioned it on the show before. I grew up with the United Nations of a group of friends, right?
Yeah.
I got along with everybody, right? Yeah. And I joke that, listen, I hate everybody equally. It's as simple as that, right? So it's just, you guys are all on the same level playing field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And unless you hurt somebody that I care about,
yeah.
then I have some real hatred.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, I agree wholeheartedly.
If you hurt somebody I care about, then I just have hatred.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't hate you because of who you are, culturally speaking.
Yeah.
I hate you because you've hurt somebody that I know.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
I break it down. I don't turn around and go, and it's the color of your skin or where you came from.
No, that's a whole
it's got nothing to do with
that's
that.
That's a whole different
you, you inflicted pain on someone that I care about.
That's right.
That's what
that's
it's about.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of daunting for the new generation to come into this industry. What I don't like, and I have these arguments all the time with, you know, people that want to have political correctness in construction. Yeah. I'm like, dude, why don't we just tell the new generation everything?
That's right.
And let them form their own opinion.
That's right.
About where they want to go in their career path.
Yeah, that's right. And ultimately, it should be based off of your work ethic.
Yeah.
And how well you do the job.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be based on your skin. I recommend people that are of all different cultures. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as I trust them and I know they do good work, I don't really give a shit what their background is. I don't care. Right. It should be about that and that alone. Right.
What I don't like is that you get people just telling them, like, they don't want to tell them the truth about everything.
Yeah.
Because they're too concerned that it's going to persuade them not to be a part of it at all. And I'm like, you might be wrong on that.
Yeah, everything's perspective, right?
Let them discover it for themselves, and what's the point? I mean, I was fortunate enough last night to be invited to a little cigar car get together with a group of people. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to join. So I went there. It was like the bad weather we had last night, and we're just sitting around. After we had our meal, we were sitting around and just having stogies and just having a few scotches, and you're there. Everybody was being smart because we're all older. I think I was the oldest guy. At one point, I looked around the room and I was like, "Am I the oldest fucking guy here or what?" Because there was only one other guy that was a little bit older, but I was like, "Yeah, I was probably the oldest guy there." But we were talking about the younger generation and what's going on here. What is it? And it's almost like some of the points that we're bringing up, they're too afraid to even speak up.
Yeah, there's no backbone left.
They're too concerned that if I say something or the tonality of the thought.
Yeah, they're going to get offended. Yeah. Someone's going to get offended. Listen, without trying to sound like an asshole, there's a lot of vaginas out there for
I agree.
Right? Like a lot.
I agree.
It's the old school mentality. Again, I'm not like, I'm 44, right? I'm not, 24. I'm not also 64, but
you're looking forward to 64.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit barbaric in regards to my upbringing, in regards to saying things the way it should be said, right? Sometimes, yes, I hold back, obviously, because my wife spoke to me and it's like, so shut the fuck up, don't fucking say it, don't do it. Like, she's looking at me.
Which is perfectly fine. Yeah, yeah. You can express it, right? But it doesn't mean that I have to kind of do it.
Oh, no, of course not, right? The whole thing about being terrified to talk, why? You're an individual. You think what you think. Your perspective is yours. Your opinion is yours. It doesn't fucking matter what anybody else thinks, right? At the end of the day, yes, you're here to learn. You're here to grow. I'm going to take advice from you, Manny. You're older than me. And okay, I'm going to listen to what you say. If you're open-minded in that regard, okay, you don't have to agree. But if you're smart enough, you'll listen.
I'll take advice from anybody. Right? I don't care
how old. Exactly.
I've learned things from little kids.
Yeah,
exactly. They'll say something, and you're like, they've got wonder in their eyes, and they'll just say something a certain way, and you're like, I never really thought about it.
But to be afraid...
No, you can't be.
But this is the problem. You're absolutely right. This young generation, my God. My God.
Just say your mind.
Everything. They're scared of everything. They're everything. And it's, we can talk about, political correctness and what they've kind of influenced people to be scared of. There's only one way. There's one rule. There's one answer. There's one. So there, anything else they say is kind of like snared upon because it's what they've been brought up to believe and to think and let's call it indoctrinated to fucking only think this way and do things this way. It's bullshit. Free thinkers, free thinker. You wanna go around, having your own beliefs. So basing everything off experience, and that's generally what it should be. It's like I'm not gonna take advice from a guy that okay, he read it in a book, and this is the way it's supposed to be. Is it? Did you live it? No. Shut the fuck up. Then. I don't need you to talk anymore.
There's a balance on what you read and what you experience.
That's right.
Like I'm all for reading. I've learned quite a bunch
absolutely.
From books, but nothing is like experiencing certain.
That's
things.
Right. So I want to know the heartache. Yeah. I want to know. The pain you went through. I want to understand it inside. So you lived it? Okay, I'm going to listen to you, right? Just because you have a thought in your mind to say it's this way doesn't mean it's correct because you have nothing to back it.
But then also you're a human being in a so-called democratic country that we're in right now.
So-called.
So that's why I air quoted it. Like you have the right to say something, but you do not have the right to go through life thinking that I'm not allowed to offend you with my words because... Right. I can't tell you if anybody's ever offended me in my entire lifetime. You know what I mean? I've never like hung on and going, I'm still carrying this fucking offensive thing that you shared with me. No.
No, I
don't have time for that shit.
No, nobody has fucking time. And I find that too.
But this generation, it seems like they do.
It's because they've been indoctrinated to believe that it's the only way to be, right? It's that the younger generation is very soft, unfortunately.
It's almost like the old school punch clock.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they punch clock. For like the offensive hours.
Yeah, yeah. and it's partially, they're fake. Right?
They go along with the masses.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm like, how about form your own opinion?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean by saying that you're fake. You're not being who you are. You should be who you are no matter what. And my wife always has come to me and says, sometimes the way you say things, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what people think. Truthfully, I don't give a shit.
I just had that
because I'm very comfortable with who I am, what I am, how I speak. You don't gotta like me. I'm 44 years old. I don't give a fuck. I got a wife and I got a kid. I got everything else to worry about. Their shit does not
There's
matter.
There's far more important things to worry matter. About in life.
I don't need any more friends.
It's honestly
that's it. And if I get along with somebody and
great,
that is fantastic. Yeah. Okay, let's move. We'll slowly take baby steps because I'm too old to give.
But if you start
effort,
getting
to put too much effort into
if
it,
if you're cringing because I said something and you don't agree with my opinion. At Maple Overhead Garage Doors, they're not just opening doors, they're opening possibilities. Serving the greater Toronto area with top quality garage doors in steel, wood, fiberglass, flush mount, and full view aluminum, Maple delivers style, strength, and satisfaction for both residential and commercial spaces. With years of experience, unmatched craftsmanship, and the next level service, your neighbors will be jealous, but your garage door will speak for itself. Visit www.maplegaragedoors.com, email them at maplegaragedoors@hotmail.com, or even call them at 905-738-9231. Follow them on social at Maple Doors and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience live at Maple. Maple Overhead Garage Doors, built to impress, made to last. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
We got a nation right now that's being divided because of red and blue, and I'm just like, okay, well, go down that path.
Yeah, it'd be a special kind of fucking criminal to be a politician.
Yeah, it's just, well, they all are.
Yeah, you get special kind of politician.
I know, and they know what they're doing, right? Yeah. The bottom line is, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday that actually was in the Ford inner circle.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about how the amount of conversations that he has behind the media doors. Oh, yeah. Compared to what's presented in front of the media doors. But if you're in his circle, you're making money.
Yeah.
Oh, he says something and I'm like, it's Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. That's all it is. He's just peddling this shit.
It's disgusting because, again, the moral standpoint, like, where is it? There is none. There's zero, right? You're willing to throw your family under a bus on live fucking television in front of God knows so many fucking people. To make it
depends on how much that dollar sign is.
Yeah,
right?
But it's disgusting. Like a guy like Trudeau, like you've torched 40 million people. You backstab every part of your family. You lie constantly on a regular basis on TV, and you're morally good with that. Like, and you got children. This is the example you set.
The family tree is going to continue, like, and they're going to have to deal with it.
This is the example you set for your own kids. You're that example. Like, you're a different kind of demonic person. Like, literally, that's why I say a politician is
driven by the money.
Yeah, a politician is a special kind of fucking crook because there's no moral standpoint at all. There's zero. Even criminals have a fucking moral standpoint to a certain degree. These people are just gross.
There's a very gray line nowadays regarding criminal and politicians now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot. If you compare the two, it's almost the actions are very similar.
Yeah. I would say apologize is worse because he's openly saying
I agree.
And getting away with it.
I agree with you.
Because
right?
He knows he can't.
What I don't like is all of a sudden you change of the guard, right? And a leadership, and all of a sudden everyone seems to forget the Green Sludge Fund.
Yeah,
the SNC. All of a sudden, Canadians. That's why I did a rant where I was like, I can't stand Canadians that are just forgetting what's really going on. I'm never going to forget the pandemic. I'm never going to forget any of that shit, right? Yeah. Like, everyone knows about that shit.
They had human psychology down to a T, to a science, right?
They knew what was going to unfold. And it just sucked, right?
Yeah, the same principles apply to even the their polling. Their polling is, the masses are going to
follow. It's all theater.
If I show you that 50%, another 10, 20% is going to follow suit with everybody else. And so because it's true, because you're showing it to you. I can't.
The unfortunate thing is what I don't like is when I do, I've got a lot of boomers around me. And there's one in particular. He's actually drinking the Kool-Aid. And he's trying to convince me. And I'm like, it's really interesting how the Liberal Party is a marketing machine.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Yes.
They're one of the best PR marketing machines out there.
And they're full
they
of
know
shit.
Exactly what to do when it comes to the Canadian people.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate. And I'm hoping that April 28th becomes a different story. I'm hoping, but we'll see. And I'm already having conversations with certain people about, like, listen, if it goes this way, things are going to change.
Yeah.
If it goes red, things are going to change. And I think that Canadians, like, you can't have a leadership talking about how we're going to get rid of guns for the criminals. First of all, criminals don't have licenses for guns. They probably don't even have a driver's license.
Exactly.
So by you announcing that you're going to get rid of weaponry from criminals and their licensing privileges?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck on that. It doesn't work.
No,
that
it doesn't
way,
work.
Right?
The criminals don't have licenses. Like, you're taking guns. Well, listen, history shows, like, what did Mao do? Right? Mao took away guns for the mass population. He ended up killing like 20 million of his own people. The argument can be for Hitler. The argument can be made for Stalin. The argument, it's the same principles apply. You take weapons away from the mass population because they can't defend themselves. Right.
What I'm not going to like is, like, in the history books, if Canada decides to remove anything that was associated with COVID and the Emergencies Act, I'll be furious if they take that out of history. Because it should be, everything that happened should be left in there.
I agree.
But and the next generation should form their own opinion about what was going on.
I doubt that they will.
I'm,
right? History is always written by the people in power.
I know.
Right?
So they'll remove it.
Exactly.
It was unfortunate. I was having a conversation.
You're beating up your own people.
A Japanese person, eh? You know that their history books doesn't even share any light on what Japan did during World War II.
Interesting. Yeah, see, there's an example.
So when they came here, they started speaking to people here, and they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. We never learned any of that. That never happened.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's you know, and the crazy thing about that whole, like, let's say the trucker thing, let's for example, they had, it was all public. You see it on Instagram? What was going on? Everything was live.
It was all
like people
media.
Have blinders. Like, you didn't see that?
Yeah.
Like, you just beat up, they beat up their own people. There wasn't a finger raised.
What's
there
worse, Paul, is that everyone is forgetting it. And I'm like, dude.
No, they just don't want to deal with it, right? Again, we need a weak mentality, weak people, weak mindset, right? It's just, again, it's. I think it's, you know, just go along to get along. But you're fucking destroying yourself. You're destroying your children. That's the thing people forget about. You have kids. You have kids. You got grandkids. Like,
what are you leaving the kids?
Like, nothing. You're leaving them to listen, we're already partially already slave labor. Country, right? Yeah. And when I say
the amount of taxes, that's associated with what you earn, right?
So at the end of the day, and then people are like, what are you talking about? Why? Because you have nice cosmetics. I don't work to have nice cosmetics. I work to have my children have something to be left behind.
Yeah.
Now, if we got somebody here sticking their hand out wanting 50%, are you next to me laying that slab of stone or that tile? No, you're not. Oh, interesting. Why the fuck are you doing 50%? You're gonna make my life better.
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you making my life better? No, you're charging me more money and you're giving me less. And you're not letting me even hold on to a damn dollar for my kids. So it's like you have to be very driven to find ways to make money, find ways to buy properties. Like I have, you know, we have three houses in total. It took me God knows how fucking long, but that's only because I bought my first one when I was 23.
You planned.
Right?
You prepared.
And it was very, very, very hard.
Of course.
And it's still like, you think I'm free or clear of debt? No. Impossible in this country. It's absolutely impossible. So...
They want you to stay in debt for the rest of your days.
So when I tell people slave labor country, I'm like, why? Because your road is nice? Because that building is nice? Because you have trees on your front lawn? Because somebody takes your garbage out? Look at what you're giving up for lesser value of your life and your kid's life. There's nothing left.
I was having a conversation with a friend who's actually going through the medical system right now for something simple, but it's actually becoming very big now.
Yeah.
And it's associated with diabetes. And I'm talking about just like simplicity where, you know, if you're at a certain age as an individual man or woman and you have either a scratch or a cut or dry skin on your feet and it turns into a wound, it could eventually, if it's not treated, become an amputee.
Interesting.
Right? So it's associated with that.
Yeah.
But he's going through the medical system for the last 2 months every single day. And all they're doing is just prolonging the source of treating him. And I just said to him, because I've been in contact the whole time talking to him, and I just said, I really would like to know what the percentage of our tax dollars that go to our so-called healthcare system. Yep. And I would be able to have the choice going, listen, I want to opt out of our public healthcare system.
Privatized.
And I want that money so then I can go and get my own privatized version of it.
I agree with that.
Same with trash.
I agree with that.
It's the same thing with trash. When I started talking to people that live in rural areas and they have to deal with trash and what they can get out there if they miss it or what have you, they're like, you know what I usually do is I just get a bin and I just throw everything out and then guy comes up and so what percentage of your trash or your taxes is going to trash?
I agree.
Get rid of that on the bill and I'll take care of my own trash.
I agree wholeheartedly.
So it's like, why? But they don't want us to govern ourselves.
No. They because they want to control every aspect of our life, right?
Toronto Hydro, and I think all the utilities in Ontario, I think it's probably all of Canada, we're not allowed to get off the system. Even if we were to somehow come up with a way to get off the system, they won't allow us to stay off the system.
Because you're not truly free in this country.
You have to have a meter base. Doesn't matter if you're powering one light bulb.
Yeah.
And that's a monopoly at that
point. Of course, 100%.
If I'm a kid and my kid is smart enough and they read books and they're experimenting in the barn and they come out and they discovered something that Tesla discovered 100 years ago and he's smart, she's smart enough to figure that out and now it could power the whole house, why can't I, as a citizen, be able to use this?
Oh, no, they won't allow that. They make too much money off you. Come on.
That's why I think, you know what, for the longest time, Canadians have been... passive, quiet, we're nice
way
people.
Way too passive.
This
is the weakest generation. I'm not talking about your generation or mine. I'm talking about the one below us. Like the 20 to 30 range, like the super weak, super passive. It is the way it is. Like, no, you're allowing it.
You're allowing it to be that way.
When people tell me all the time, like, Paul, but why say anything? Because you're supposed to. Because you're supposed to educate people. You don't want to hear it because you don't want to acknowledge it because you don't want to deal with it. That's a weak individual. You have to fucking deal with it.
Before you got here, Paul, I was just grabbing a coffee, right?
Yeah.
So, and then there's the front staff there. And something happened in the machine. And I made a joke. And
out of context, you would be thinking, what the hell did you just say? But when I made the joke, I just verbally expressed it.
Yeah.
And then I carried on. But then I turned and I saw both of them were laughing. And they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what, you heard that? And they're like, yeah, I heard that. And then one of them just said, well, that's kind of bad. I was like, yeah, but is it funny?
Yeah.
Are we not allowed to be in a better state if we're just laughing? Like, I would get a kick. I'm sure you get a kick out of your kids or you see your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that you care about. And all of a sudden they make a joke or they make a smirk or they do something and it makes you laugh.
Yeah, of course.
Isn't that a better human being if they make you laugh?
100%.
Yeah, or you can go the other route where like, oh my God, that's so offensive. Yeah,
You're just miserable fucking people. Yeah, just finding a way.
But I'd rather be smiling more often than miserable.
Yeah, listen, in the construction world, you know, Manny, you obviously know a lot of sarcasm on site.
A lot, and I love it because it's the funniest, man. Yeah,
and that's the thing. There's nothing offensive about it. You're putting a smile. You're putting a smile at somebody in somebody's face, in your own face, during a hard day of fucking work. Like, what's so bad about it? There's nothing bad about it. You want to be offended because you're a miserable fuck to begin with, and you don't know how to control your goddamn emotions, right? You want to be angry about something that nobody gives a shit about. The 1% of the population care about. But we make it on the media, make it sound like it's fucking 80% of the population. It's bullshit.
I think the majority of us were laughing more.
100%.
You know what's funny is I never see politicians laughing.
Oh, no.
They laugh at their stupid jokes or basically just underlying tones of, we're going to fuck you. That's what it is. We're going to fuck you. And then it's like a little smirk, right?
Yeah.
That's not a joke. That's not funny.
No, it's not.
But I never see them flat out just laughing.
No. They're all trained SEAL. They're all trained SEAL. They're told what to do. I very truly believe that politicians are put in place because they're weak. Because weak people are easy to control.
Yeah.
Right? When you have a guy like yourself or let's even myself that speak, they don't like it. We're too fucking bad.
And anybody like us or anybody that wants to have an opinion, you get other people saying, and I've been suggested several times, why don't you get into the game? And I was like, I'm not interested in becoming a villain.
So I have...
I don't want to be a villain, man.
A very close family friend of ours, John Nunziata, he was part of the Liberal Party that ended up being just going back like to the 80s and 90s, and then being what's it called when you're like independent, because he got kicked out of the Liberal
Party. Yeah.
And he's always said to me, he goes, Paul, you're so like passionate, why don't you get involved? I go, are you kidding me? I go, I can't be that guy. I go, I already get so upset talking about it. You want me to stand on a podium and like I'm gonna start like throwing sticks at people? I'm like, I can't fucking do that stuff. Does the population need somebody like that? Like not to that degree, but somebody that's more vocal? Yeah, absolutely. Right, but that machine is different. That machine is.
I couldn't be able to do it. Like I wouldn't. I don't care. Like you get people recently were like, okay, fine, Manny, you get in. They're offering you $100 million. You do this for 4 years. You get a lot of people hating you for a long time, and they give you $100 million. Are you gonna do it?
Yeah, but you're also. This is the guideline for you. Like you have to lie and cheat and steal and in public. You got to throw your family under a bus. These are all the things you have to do to get this money. And we're gonna control you.
My biggest problem is that, and I don't even have kids, is people that I truly care about, will they get attacked on my behalf of my actions? Of course. That will rip me apart.
But 100%.
I don't understand how a certain individual can stand in front of the camera and the lights, and they're taking this money, you know they're laundering this money, and they have no regard for the family that's going to be in the future. But then again, you deal with a country like Canada, everyone's going to forget this in the history books. They forgot it about his dad way back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And they keep on forgetting about it. It's what happens to the people around you.
Oh, they get crushed.
That's what bothers me.
Crushed, of course.
Right?
It's one thing to attack you. Okay, I can handle it. I can deal with it to a degree. But then you start talking, about family members, people that are close to you.
That's different.
It's completely different because now you're somewhat responsible for the outcome of their life and what they're dealing with, right? So, I agree. It's a very dirty, dirty game. And I don't know if, again, I'm going to go back to the moral standpoint. You have to have some kind of moral standpoint. You have to have some kind of morals to know what the right thing is to do.
I think to be that person in that industry, you give that up right away.
Well, absolutely. That's why I've always said, like, weak people, the politicians are chosen because they're weak, because they're going to be controlled. They love money more than they love family, friends, and respect. It's very simple. It's very clear as day. You don't go on television and talk all that shit if you don't believe it.
If you are a business owner, subcontractor, or client, you know that trust in this industry is huge, and Contract Alp helps build that. Not only do they get a solid contract for your projects, they built in an e-signature tool for you and your clients. The contract dashboard also has a digital live log that records every step of the project, plus a rate and review system for both the contractor and the client. This means more transparency and accountability for everyone. Stop running your business on an estimate and a handshake. Protect yourself with Contract App.
Book your free demo or sign up today at www.contractapp.ca and use promo code TCL to get your first month for free. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I recently did a show with a union president, Local 27.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of flack for it.
Interesting.
And I didn't ask enough questions that I really wanted to ask. Yeah. And then...
And why'd you hold back?
Something happened a couple of days before, mm-hmm. and I let it get to me, and it'll never happen again.
Yeah, good.
And that's why I started attacking it again after. And I'm going to continue, because there are more clips are associated with it.
Good, good.
And I'm going to still attack it. But it was interesting, last night's cigar there was two union members there.
Interesting.
So it was just funny, because I was speaking to one individual... And we said hello, as you do, right?
Yeah, of course.
And all of a sudden, I'm looking at him going, where's your accent from, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm Brazilian. And I'm like, I'm a Soriano, right? So he goes, no. So all of a sudden, we know each other, and we know the whole old country. Yeah. And we start talking. Then I discover that he's a union guy, drywall. And then his buddy is also a union guy. And then I go, guys, listen, I don't want to get into the union argument here, but I'm going to ask you guys one question. Why is it that whenever I speak to a union member, they have a hard time expressing everything about the union? They're concerned about how the words are going to be taken out of context. But whenever I speak to a non-union person, they don't have a single problem about telling me about everything to do with the trade.
No different than the government, right? You're only allowed to say certain things, do certain things.
And then once I said that question,
vote a certain way.
It was a dump truck of just them offloading how this whole world works. And I was like, guys, I know how this works.
That's right.
All right, I've shared some of it, but you guys, not you guys in particular, a lot of union members get upset when I share a little bit behind the curtain.
Yeah.
They don't like it. And I'm like, I don't cow tip to you guys. I don't give a shit about that.
It's fearful of their job, of what they represent. They know the truth. They don't want to express the truth because again, fearful of losing everything that they've gained there. But again, ultimately, what are you? You're a sheep. You're a trained SEAL too. You work for the union. You're no different than a government official. You're the same fucking bullshit. You're a trained fucking SEAL. You like your job. You like your money. Guess what? Money can be made anywhere. Right? Okay, given it's very difficult in this country now with this fucking liberal bullshit.
24 cents, man.
Yeah,
you know about that, right?
No, it's 24 cents.
Every dollar you make,
by the time you
actually get rid of anything that's associated with that dollar, tax-wise, you purchase something, you pay tax on it or whatever, you're doing your taxes, submitting your income tax, all that shit, you're left with 24 cents of every $1.
I've always roughly said that 70% of your money is taken.
24 cents.
Right? So, I'm a little bit off. Right,
but the problem is that you get to these really wealthy who's really doing well these days are all the wealthy people.
Yeah, that's it.
They shelter their money, so they're not losing all the tax dollars. No, right?
Nothing.
And that's the unfortunate thing.
They take what are they paying in general? Like 10%, 7%.
I don't know what it is.
It's like nothing because they have offshore shell companies in Bermuda and everywhere else, and Barbados, stuff like that, Panama.
And they don't educate this in the school system.
No, why would they? They can't. They need good workers. They need good little laborers is what they need over here. The United States is no different, right?
Paul, everyone's going to get upset if I don't start talking about some tiling or something like that. Let me get right out of the gate. Let's talk about the goodies here, right?
Okay, got you.
Favorite tools. What do you like using for a wet saw, for a grinder, for
wet saw, Hasa Verna.
Snaps. Okay, yeah.
I like it. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. I bought my first saw, and I fucking love it.
Love it?
I love it. I love it. I honestly, it's like bulletproof.
Really?
Yeah. All right. I've only had to change the brushes on it like once, and the thing's like amazing. It's least amount of wiggle, right? It's shifting when you're cutting on a straight line. In regards to wet saw, yes. Gravels, I love for large format.
Yep.
Right? Especially even for the slab, when we're doing slab walls, right? Like we're doing 4 foot, 5 foot slabs on the walls, like a wall cladding in natural stone. In regards to tools, yeah.
Grinders, do you want Makita?
Or DeWalt? There's that, I have a Makita. I don't like DeWalt. I was never a fan of DeWalt. I have a Makita. It's obviously...
variable.
Yes, variable. That you have to, right? You have no choice, especially if you're dealing with more dense porcelains and marbles and stuff like that. Obviously, depending on the blade as well. Then I have the I can't remember the name of it. It's German.
Metabo?
Yes,
no. Metabo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of those as well.
Okay.
Either one of those, I for me are bulletproof. I like those too, and it's surprising because Makita's not like it's not, super expensive grinder, but it does a very good
job.
You
need these tools in the arsenal. Gone are the days where it's really simple. All you needed was some spacers. Spacers and a trowel.
Yeah, yeah. It's not changed. That anymore. Like, I wasn't even a fan of leveling clips when they first came out.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't.
You were all old school.
Just I was doing like, yeah, because I learned very old school. Yeah. Right? I was 15 years old when I started doing my summers and my weekends with my uncle. All through school, all through high school, you know, it's now 29.
What were you guys doing? Like, was it at that time would have been like 12 by 12 or was it?
Yeah, pretty larger? Much 12 by 12.
12 by 12.
Yeah. I did some marble with him, but that was all like on dry pack with a rubber mallet.
Yep.
Old school. But when the clips came out, I was like, no, there's too many hollow points at the bottom. Like, no, there's too many hollow points. I'm like, there's way too many. I go, because it's lifting off the floor.
That's the problem.
So that was always the argument I had with those guys when they were coming to site and trying to like sell me, like when they were first starting the those clips. I'm like, no, there's too many hollow points. Like, no. I go, no. When I'm putting mortar down, I'm slapping the tile down, I'm clipping, it's lifting. I'm leaving hollow spots. Yeah, yeah. Then obviously, eventually, now they have that vibrating machine where you put it on top and it vibrates and it kind of seals it better. But, you know, at first I was not a fan. And they tried to argue. I'm like, it's not, it's just basic. This is really, if you're lifting the tile off the mortar, you're creating a hollow point, right? Yeah.
You can't solely rely on the clips. You still have to do the job that's associated
with
it.
That's what I mean, right?
And then you're just using it just for the final little tiny bit of lippage.
That's right.
That's it.
Right, and then you spend more time, obviously, now, because you're using clips, let's say you're not that person that wants to mallet it down or use that vibrating tool to push the tile down into the mortar.
Yeah.
Now we have to look for voids in the floor before we start. Right, we got to look for those bellies in the floor, and then we got to patch those bellies.
Well, the clients will find them when they drop their keys, and then they hear that sound.
They're like, "Oh, interesting. Why is it hollow here?" I'm like, "Ah." Right.
So, I mean, the new gen that's trying to do it, they can't solely rely on clips. They can't think that, okay, I got training wheels on my bike, I can ride.
New generation, because it's quick and fast and easy for them.
I know, but there's still needs. That's what I'm saying. It's at the very end is when you use it, very, very, very end, just to fine tune that 1 mil of lippage. That's all it is. Simple as that, right? Yeah, but you can't rely on it 100%.
No, you can't, right? But a lot of, again, the new generation, they do, right? So, because, again, it's quicker, it's faster for them, right? It's easier. Where I came from a generation where I learned very old school, very old school way that, we were using, not even before even we had spacers. I remember with the rubber mallet and the natural stone on the dry pack, there was no, like, those little square split. There wasn't those cross spacers. And then it came after.
Yeah.
I was, like, in my early 20s, and then... What were the clips? The clips are like, what, like 7 years old now, I would say?
I would say around something, that. Something like that.
Sure. And those came out, right? So a little bit more pride, I would say, in the older generation in regards to doing anything in construction, right? Like even if you look at old school bricklayers, right? Their joints are fucking clean. Yeah. You look at a house 50, 60 years old. Those joints in between the bricks are like perfect. They're immaculate. There's nothing on the brick. You look at it now, it's sloppy, it's rough, they don't care, it's all production. Very, very, very different mentality. It was even crazy because we went to a house that was built like in the 40s, and it was a true 2x4.
Yep.
A true 2x4. Yeah. But now it's, what is it, 1.5?
1.5 by 2.5, and there's probably maybe 4 rings in the wood.
Yeah.
Right?
So a true 2x4, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you don't see this anymore. Right? No, of course, because every time they shave, I can get an extra 2x4 out of that tree, an extra 10 2x4s out of that tree. Right? It's
and now it's being replaced for metal studs. It's eventually going to be replaced for modular.
I can't tolerate that shit. Like, I touched the wall and I could hear it vibrate. And
it's production. It's fast.
I know.
And that's fine. Is that we're trying to teach a generation how to build, but we're trying to teach them how to build faster and not realizing that by building something that's not going to last faster means that nobody's going to recommend you for future.
That's right. And I it's crazy because you walk into some custom houses, they're 7,000-8,000 square feet. And there's a custom built or $5 million home, $6 million. Then you look at the wall, does this? It's waving. I'm like, oh, interesting. I'm like, this is a $7, $8 million house, and the wall is all crooked and waving and nothing straight. And, for me, I'm a finisher. They don't care about me. Generally, you're supposed to always worry about the next trade. I got to have this ready for the next trade. I know. Just like in general speaking, like, so I now get into these houses, massive, beautiful, $5, $6 million, whatever they cost. And the wall's wavy, the wall's crooked. For me, the shower. Oh yeah, no, it's not level, it's not square. There's a belly in it. And guess what? It's my problem to fix it, and I have to fix it, right? So now, like, I'm going to go into a job. Like, well, the shower is going to take, let's say hypothetically, 5 bags. No, it's going to take me 8 bags, and it's going to take me an extra 4 hours to do it because I have to make it level and square. I have to. I have no choice. That trade doesn't care about me. The guy that was doing the mudding and the taping didn't care about the bellies in the wall. I had one builder that he sent there. He called whoever was doing all the taping. He sent 20 guys to like to fix every wall in the entire house. We're talking about a 7,000 square foot house. Because the ceilings were, the walls were waving like this. They were waving everywhere. And you see like 20 mud guys just like.
But we know exactly the reason why they're waving.
And the only reason why they did it was because a homeowner caught it. Otherwise, they would have left it. And
how many houses saw it during the sunlight or something happened at some point that the homeowner saw it.
Yeah, I have my buddy Nico. That's a tape guy. It's a mudder. He works for the union. He does like all the repairs for, I can't remember the company. And I'll call him into a house and I'll tell the homeowner, look at your ceilings, flat ceilings. You see, hum. And he'll come in, have to charge the homeowner another $3,000-$5,000 to fix all the ceilings from whoever did it prior.
And all their mud box is, and just fixing it. They're just skimming the whole thing. They're not straightening it out. No. They're just skimming the whole thing.
Well, listen, but it's a ceiling, right? Light hits that ceiling. You just see waves. If you're going to have a flat ceiling, do it right.
You know what's funny is that there's a lottery, Princess Margaret lottery that goes on here in Toronto area. And I can't remember the last time I was in one of those, but that's a shithole. I don't know who the builders are now anymore, but they sell it
it was Green Park. No, a long time ago.
A long time ago. Those are the ones that I walked into, and it was shit. It was like shit workmanship.
Yeah, they're smacked together.
They just don't. They sell it on the fact of all the beautiful decorations and the rugs and the couches and all that crap that's inside there. But then when you look around and you look at the build quality of the house, you're like, this is not worth three. At the time, it was like $3 million. Yeah. I'm like,
well,
this
it's a
is
massive
not worth
tax
three.
Write-off for whoever.
For everybody, that's the thing
they
about
over,
it.
They it's overvalue it so they can
get huge gain.
Yeah, they overvalue the actual.
But you're giving it to a homeowner that thinks that they're getting
A
high quality building.
Yeah, but everybody's in it to make it for themselves, right? To cut themselves a break, right? Unfortunately, and I agree. If you're going to be the one, you know, giving away a product, you know, you're partially representing yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So they go, okay, I'm representing, you know, my company's PVD Tile. I'm going to give off this house. I better make sure that fucking house is like the tiles in that house are immaculate because that's representing me and my name, right?
But that job is going to get you another job.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's what I mean is that's the disconnect that's going on, that if you don't take care, you don't plan this, nobody's going to notice it. They're going to notice that it was shit.
But then there's also the rebuttal to that is that, well, it's production. They're a production builder, right?
Well, okay, so the argument is I'm only going to get paid X amount, so then I'm only going to do X amount. But then guess what? You're not going to get another job from it.
Yeah.
You're missing an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would feel like the smaller guys would take more pride in, as opposed to the bigger guys, right? The smaller guys would take more pride in having that finishing like look beautiful because they see more opportunity for themselves to grow. When the bigger guys are, you know, generally more production, they let's say they build 1,000 houses a year, they don't give a shit, right? But you give it to a smaller guy like myself, I'm going to make sure that fucking floor looks amazing. I'm going to make sure that floor looks amazing because that's my name's going to be on it. So... I know it's for them. They do it more for the tax write-off. We know what they're doing it for, right?
I came across an old friend of mine from my first 2 or 3 years of construction, and he was just inviting me to a new warehouse that he's setting up for his business. He's expanding, doing really well.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about construction and numbers, and he was saying over and over, Canada is so behind.
Oh my God.
It's so behind. And then he started explaining to me on some of the things that he's working on, and I'm going to be sharing some of the things later on future shows and stuff. But it was just, he had an interesting saying where he was talking about, I know exactly how to make money the most efficient way of doing the same task over and over. He goes, I just sit in my chair. I'm the only one that is allowed to sit in my chair. I do things a certain way that nobody else can compete with me.
Interesting.
And I just sit in my chair and I stay there and I know that I will always be profitable at that moment. And it was just an interesting outtake on how to look at things. And it wasn't that he was greedy. Mm-hmm. He was just understanding that if I do task a certain way and I figure out how to perfect that task over and over, nobody can ever compete with me. And then I'll always make the profit that's associated with that task A. That was his lesson. And I was like, it makes sense. It totally makes sense. He's still delivering a quality product, but he knows that you don't need to be doing all this extra bell and whistle to give you the quality. There's a certain point that you already hit the quality.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to go past that.
Yeah, it's
and very you'll true. Still be profitable and nobody else can now compete with you because you're setting up your own chair. That's all he kept on saying and over. Nobody's ever allowed to sit in my chair.
You're gonna have him on the show?
He's gonna probably come on the show because he's got something interesting that's going on, which is I think is gonna change the industry. But unfortunately, it's like it's connected to offshore. It is. I'm sorry, but it's just on because he said anybody who's just staying down this path, is going to eventually be kicked off the path.
That's true. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. No, and I said, I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, he's not wrong.
I'm not.
I've had kind of like going to the offshore point that you're making. I've had friends that shipped containers from China.
Yeah.
Everything from furniture, kitchens. I'm talking full house. I'm talking windows, everything. And they weren't your plastic windows. They were full fledged like aluminum. Like it was crazy commercial.
You're
and
shaking your head.
And I'm like half the price.
I know.
And I was like, gee, and I saw the house at the end. I was like, I can't even tell. I was floored. And so they saved on this build that they sold the house for like $4 million. They saved something like $600,000, $700,000. I was like, Jesus
Christ. By doing it this way. So there was a whole conversation. It's funny you're bringing that up because that's associated with it. And he was talking about, we were talking about, okay, fine. You got a homeowner. You borrow money for the most part to buy that home. The longer it takes to build that home, the more interest you incur on the cost of the money that you borrowed.
That's right.
So it's the same thing with the builder. The longer that you take to build, the more money you're going to incur on interest to maintain that.
That's right.
So the moment you sell it is when you start seeing the fruits of your labor.
That's right.
So if you can get rid of, like we know in construction, typically speaking, you always say it's a year to build a house.
That's right.
From the time that we go into the ground to the time that you turn the key and get inside the house, right? He's talking about doing this in 3 months.
Yeah.
So same house, same beautiful house, same everything. And you're like 3 months.
Yeah. I'm talking even like I couldn't believe it. The garage was all glass.
Yeah,
or was like that.
No, it was good quality stuff.
I was completely not. I saw the house. I was.
Anybody was not paying attention.
It was basically made in China house. I couldn't believe it. It was, and they, you know, and they even ordered a mini backhoe. Paid a half the price.
Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate to metal, flat roofs to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca. Or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
The one thing he wouldn't tell me, because I
Jesus Christ.
I always ask everybody, I would just ask, okay, so listen, if that's your price and then you're selling it that to the person, what's your profit margin? And I was like, I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, I go, but if you're already that low and you're profitable and now you sell to somebody and they're going to 2X it, 3X it, whatever it is, why don't you go a little bit higher? And he goes, I'm happy in my chair.
Well, that's just a smart man then, because a lot of people, he's not that greedy.
Nope.
Because I could tell
he you. He knows I could put in 12 orders.
Yeah.
And I got X amount coming in.
Yeah. So he's not greedy. That's a beautiful thing. He's a beautiful human being for doing that. Because because the people I know that do it, they sold for market value.
Really?
They sold it for market value. But that bought it, didn't know what it was. Right? And you can't tell, in all fairness, man. You can't. You look at the product, you can't tell. You can't. You don't know. You had no idea.
When I saw it, I could honestly say it's probably better than the Princess Margaret house.
I haven't even seen it, but I could probably tell you that I agree, because I saw the one I seen. Right? And I was in shock, because to buy those products here.
You're talking about like he's offshoring. Countertops.
Yeah. No.
Already fabricated, polished, edged, everything.
Same thing. I'm talking porcelain.
Shipped.
Porcelain, natural stone.
Holes for the faucet. Faucets already in there. Sinks everything, already in there.
Toilets. The whole house was made in China. Light fixtures, interior, exterior light fixtures.
I was like, holy cow.
Turf.
Everything.
Everything.
He even made a joke for me. He's like,
everything.
Do you want a painting on this wall? I'll put the painting on the wall and send you the wall.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's literally crazy.
Do you want the painting lit?
Yeah.
I'll send the light on the painting on the wall and I'll send you the wall.
This is going to be the new way of building, right? And this is the thing. And I was in
awe. It's launching soon in June. And I was just like, okay, I want to talk about it.
It's been happening. Like,
I had a lot of people playing around with it. My
personal friend, it's second one he's done like this. And yes, so he goes ahead of time, obviously, or he goes out, gets his plans, has everything, ships it all. And the crazy thing is, what they do is they'll take your plans and they'll ship it accordingly. And just have containers show up. When we ordered a mini backhaul, I couldn't believe it.
So what do you think is going to happen to the artisan? Like, what do you think is going to happen to the future? Like, I have asked the union guys. I was like, listen, robots are eventually going to replace your union members, right? I don't think robots are ever going to change the artisan. I don't think they're going to replace the artisan.
Yeah.
You're going to have a premium select group of clientele. That's it's going to be the top 5% that will still want it to be handcrafted, hand-built, hand-everything. And they'll pay for it. They'll have the money for
it. Of course.
But the masses...
Yeah, the production guys, unfortunately, it's good.
If I could put an order in for a subdivision and I've got 100 units and I'm selling each one of those homes for $1 million and I can produce each one of those homes offshore for $100,000, I'm building a subdivision.
Yeah, all day. All day.
It gets done faster.
Yeah.
It just gets dropped in place.
That's right.
Plug and play regarding all the utilities.
Yeah.
You do it. Punch list to go through, make sure everything's fine, which technically it will be.
Yeah.
And then you put it on the market and you sell it 9 months earlier than you would have done it if it was done right on
site. Yeah, it's going to be definitely a new way of doing things. Like I said, it's my personal friend that's done it. And I was in awe. He did two of them like that. And I couldn't believe
he's
it.
He's not wrong. I can't fault him.
No, because his mentality is like, it's too hard to make money off building buildings anymore. He goes, they suck me dry.
You got to go through weather. You got to go through bylaws. If you can already take care of all that paperwork before anything ever starts, before even the client's even a part of this thing, and you already get all these approvals already all down, and all you got to do is just plant piers or a foundation and you're just dropping it right in place.
Oh, see, the dropping right in place, it was all the finishings, I would say, the one he did. Obviously, the framing was done here.
Yeah.
Brick was done here, but every door, windows, like every aspect of the finishing, tile, the hardwood, everything. Everything, the entire house was, and he, you can't fault him because he was saying, I can't make a dollar. Because you go back 25 years ago, you built a house, you could make money.
Yeah.
You can make money. You can even just flip a house 10, 15, 20 years ago. You can make money.
Today you can't.
You can't make money. It's impossible. You're working for free.
I don't know anybody who's flipping homes now.
No. It's impossible. No, nobody. I don't know anybody either. At one point, I think everybody and their mother was doing it.
More rentals going on.
Yes.
I think people are buying properties, splitting them into two units or three units.
To that point, I have a house in Windsor, right? So I have a house in Windsor that me and my brother purchased both three, four years ago. And we bought it with already zoning in place for a second dwelling in the back.
Good.
So now we're working on that.
You're building the ADU in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to do that. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people are going in that road instead, right? I my buddy George that is originally was a plumber. Now he does the same thing, second dwelling, third dwelling. So he'll take a house in North York, that's one story, and he'll make it three, and then put a second dwelling in the back. He has three of them like that.
So you have four units now.
He's got four units, so he's got three of them like that on one street, right? So
it's great for the people who can do it.
That's right.
And then you own it, you rented it out.
That's right.
And then you just got to manage the tenants. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But at some point, you'll get large enough that you just deal with a property maintenance.
That's going to be his retirement job, right? That's what he wants. And it's smart because it's like you said, I don't see anybody flipping houses anymore.
No.
You can't. There's no
money. It's not cost effective.
Because once you start making money in this country, the government comes, hey, look, there's a new tax over here. We have to come get that extra 30, 40% you're making. They're always behind you. And I'm sure eventually with these dwellings, they're going to do the same thing.
They'll probably do the same. They're all going to be capital gained.
Yeah. Right? And that's the thing. And it's ridiculous because there's no incentive in this country to build anything anyways. Because even, my buddy Dave is Le Prairieville Build Design, right? So even for him, where's his incentive? Because given he does most of his stuff for clients, that's his forte, right? But if he had to build for himself, where's his incentive to hire trades? Where's his incentive? I got to pay 66% after 250 profit. Where's my incentive?
It's not there.
So I'm allowed to keep 250, but then 66% after the fact, I got to give to you. Like, where's the incentive to now? What are you taking away? You're taking away me building a house to hire a plumber, a carpenter, a tile guy. You're taking away incentive. You're taking away work from everybody. Everybody. So he doesn't want to go blood, sweat, and tears to build a house. Why?
I know.
What's the purpose?
There's no motivation at that point.
Right? It's like, come on. Like this. So yes, in regards to the gentleman that you're talking about, of course, how can you fault him? My friend, my buddy Robbie, how can you fault him? You can't.
It's a smart plan.
He needs to live too. He's got kids. He's got a family. He's got to find other ways. Okay, then, but I'm sure eventually they're gonna find a way for that too, to kind of shut that down as well, right?
Well, his goal is, right now he's at a point where he's like, I can give you 60% of the entire house. I'm trying to get to 100%.
That's crazy.
And I'm like,
that's crazy. So he's just basically, here's the foundation, give me the whole house. Pretty much.
So the only thing that's missing in that 40% would be that foundation framing and roofing.
Yeah.
Right? He can give you the windows already. He can give you all that stuff.
Yeah, he can ship all the pipes, yeah, plumbing, everything shipped over.
But he's trying to figure out, how do I give you the shell and the top,
yeah,
and the
bottom. Here's the whole product. Go do your thing. You might have to, your water hookup, your sewer hookup with the foundation on your own, and then everything else.
Yeah, but we started talking a lot about that, where it was quick connections for kitchens. He goes, we'll literally be able to, like, everybody's got the drawings.
Yeah.
So when you're roughing everything in place on site, they have to be within the millimeter where they're supposed to be.
So that's funny you said that, because even the what we were looking at, me and my brother looking at for the one in Windsor, is they're modular. Right?
Yeah.
They get dropped in place with the hookups in the back. So they give us the specs of where the hookups got to be exactly coming out of the concrete. So when it drops, it's just like.
What I don't like about these structures, though, is that there's no soul attached to these structures.
Yeah.
They're just boxes of temporary habitats, right?
Yeah. Well, they are, but you still have to add to them. They don't give you everything, right? Yeah. The exterior wise of it. Sometimes they have a second story. You could add an outdoor railing. You have to add to it, right? Still, it's not.
But it's a constant turnover of tenants. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's ever going to say, this is my little fixer-upper.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do something with
this fixer-upper. Well, this is what the our government wants, right? They got Carney on TV wants to make Canada basically a trailer park. Yeah, oh, no, modular is the way for everything. I'm like, so we're going to be a trailer park.
Why don't you start with the parliament? Why don't you guys all start in trailer parks?
Yeah.
You know, ADUs. Oh, no,
they don't know how to do that.
You guys all do it.
Yeah, no,
it's crazy. Show by example.
The fact that you're even mentioning that, you're scratching your head like, really? Is this what you want us to become? You want us to?
My concern is who's actually listening to it and believing it, because I mean, I'm old enough to just form my own opinion.
Okay, yeah, of course.
You said something. Okay, well, it doesn't make any sense to me. So
you're old enough. You're also smart enough. You also been around the block. You also had your ups and downs. You dealt with life, real life. These people don't know what fucking real life is. They have no idea.
No.
I got multi billions of dollars. Where apparently even his wife was complaining that in the UK they didn't give her enough money for her to live. It was like 820 grand a month. I'm like, oh, really? Interesting how that fucking works. I'm like, you think you're real? You're real people? You're not real people.
Listen, man, I'm kind of old school, where I keep on thinking that karma comes in and something will happen. I don't know. Something will happen.
I agree with you to an extent. And you know, when people were talking about, like, let's go back a little bit about you know, Trudeau and, you know, treason and this, I go, know what his punishment is? I go, God's going to be his punishment. I go, what I mean by that is God doesn't want him dead. God wants him to walk around the streets in Canada and be yelled, cussed, and cursed at for the rest of his goddamn life, for his kids to be ridiculed. And he did that. He did that. That's his punishment. That's God's way. God's way is not to kill him. God's way is to make him suffer because of all the suffering he created over 40 million people. I go, that's what I tell people. That's his karma, because that guy can't walk the street.
No.
He can't.
He'll be protected for the rest of his
life. Regardless, that's the way you're going to live.
I know, but I wouldn't want to live that way. I wouldn't want people.
He chose, right?
But I mean, people say it right now. Some people say it online. You got the keyboard warriors. They'll say a shit word or two about me, and I don't give a shit.
I love the keyboard warriors, but it doesn't bother me, man. Yeah,
I don't care about it. Like, I don't know who you are, and you obviously don't know who I am.
Yeah.
But if you want to hide behind a keyboard,
oh, I love those guys.
Then go ahead.
I love those guys.
But you'll never say it to me on my face.
Yeah, I love those guys. My brother had an incident like that online about it, because he's a real estate agent, and it was two guys that he knew, and so I called them. And all of a sudden they cowered. I'm like, well, you guys are strong. When you guys got to type it on the, you guys got to type it, right? You guys are tough guys. I go, now that I call you, you guys are fucking terrified. I go, you're losers.
Yeah.
Losers. Who are you bullying? Come bully me.
Everybody's
I'm not tough your generation.
Behind,
let's go.
Everybody's tough behind the keyboard. Right?
Nobody ever wins a fight, mind you. Okay. No. It's not about that. It's principle based.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
But if you want to pick a fight, then let's pick a fight.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Right. If I don't think I'm knowledgeable in regards to certain things, I'm going to ask questions. Number one, number two, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
It's very simple. But don't be that guy behind the screen.
Too many people hiding behind that.
Oh, but we're talking about back to cowards, man. Even in our industry, construction alone, nobody wants to talk. They're going to sit there and cower in the corner. Shut the fuck up. Get up off your feet, man. Let's go. And I get it. Our industry is not easy. It's not, you know, especially now. This is the other thing. We're talking about the newer generation. I got to go into homes with the newer generation, and they're nitpicking at everything, like they know everything. I was like, why'd you hire me? Why don't you just let me do my fucking job?
You talking about the clients?
Yeah, the clients. The clients are one of the most...
Because they've been educated by YouTube videos, HGTV,
exactly, right?
All their friends. Yeah, yeah.
So now if you come to me and I ask you about your job, you give me bits and pieces about your job, you think I'm going to understand it in an entirety of what the details and depth of your job is? No fucking way. No way. I might get the surface of it a little bit if you explain it to me. But don't think you can come in here and try to tell me how to do my job. Because I'm at an age, I'm not going to give a shit anymore. I'm like, listen, do this, go over there. When it's done, you'll be happy. I promise you.
Years ago, Paul, I did a rant where I was like, take a table. I'm on one side, the professional contractor.
That's right.
And on the other side is the client, their family members, their significant other, HGTV, yeah. Pinterest, social media. And they're all telling me how to do my job.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I just turned around and my rant was always just saying, listen, I'm sorry, but when it comes to construction, I have yet to meet a client that's smarter than me.
Exactly.
So I go, you guys are the dumbest people in the room when it comes to construction. Yeah. I'm not challenging your career or your education. I'm not challenging. I go, when it comes to construction, a lot of people attack me going, how dare you say that about clients? And I'm like, when it comes to construction, I have yet to meet a client.
That's right.
There was one client who was an engineer and he was pretty educated, but it was ironic when it got to a point where we needed an engineer's opinion on a certain thing.
Yeah.
And I just asked him during the paperwork process of things. I'm like, Daniel, are you going to handle this portion? He goes, no. I need you to find an engineer to take care of that. I'm a different kind of engineer.
Yeah.
So even him had the sense to go bring in. And then I suggested somebody and he knew of him and I brought him in. And it was just, it was kind of educational to see two engineers. They both had their rings. They walk in and all of a sudden they're having a conversation. I'm like, you guys go to town. Tell me how many LVLs I got to throw here and I'll go there, right? But that was the closest to me saying I had a client that possibly is smarter than me when it comes to construction.
Yeah.
Other than that, the majority of them are fucking dumb.
I agree. So there. So I was going to just add to that point. A lot of engineers, they don't know how to troubleshoot. They know what the book tells them, right? Now you go on site, you bring them on site and they're like, oh, but the book says, the book doesn't matter. How about the leveling of that floor over there? I goes, you look at that, or you just look what the book tells you. He goes, no, we have to now.
Yeah,
we have to excavate this portion of the floor. We have to make sure the water slips in one way.
Yeah.
I'm like, what that book tells you is not what you're seeing. And guys on site know how to troubleshoot. That is lacking in a lot of engineers. They don't know how to troubleshoot. They don't even know what the book tells them.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. My best engineer that I ever, I worked with him maybe a half a dozen times. It was always hand drawn. He would just hand draw it.
It was old school.
Stamp it, send it to me. Yeah. And I'm like, here's your invoice paid. Thank you very much. Yeah. And I loved it.
Yeah. It was old school.
He would show up on site. I'd pay him for his time to be on site. Yeah. We walk through. What do you want to do, Manny? I explain it.
Yeah.
And he would make some sketches, take some measurements. Within the hour or two, he'd go home. He'll hand draw it, send it off to me. And then stamp it, and I'm done. Thank you very much.
See, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he's an engineer. And he's been doing it a long time. He worked for Dufferin for like 10, 15 years. Now I can't remember who's with now. He was with Ellistown for a bit. And he openly says, he goes, I have to rely on my crew. We have engineers, we have PMs that are engineers that they come in and they try to tell their foremen how to do their job. And like, you're not seeing what we're seeing. So I learned a long time ago, I have to trust my guys. Right. Okay. This is what I said. My concrete crew. I trust you. Go do it. You have to trust what they're telling you because they're on site guys. I'm not an on site guy.
Of course.
He goes, you start off with that arrogance out of school. He goes, and you learn really fast to shut the fuck up. He goes, if you're on a power trip, then you don't belong here because you're gonna fight. They're gonna fight with you. He goes, you have to put trust and faith in them. But there is the new generation of engineers, because they have got that ring, they think they're above you. Why? Because I'm dirty. Because I got dusty and dirty all day. Right?
I've always gone along with engineers that show up on site without any question. Like, yeah. they don't mind. They don't mind. What time? Yeah. What time, Manny?
Yeah.
And they're right there in the pit.
Yeah.
They're talking to
That's
you.
That's right beautiful. There. So
those guys, drawings in hand, everybody holding it, the wind's moving it around, everyone's holding it each corner, and you're having a conversation about the task at hand. Solution. So,
That's it. It's very
simple. That's an engineer, in my opinion.
Yeah. But a lot of these younger generation are power tripping.
Right? Yeah.
And that's why I go back to that
the client. Authority kind of.
Yeah, that's why I go back to the power tripping with the client, right? It's like, no, you hired me. If you're a hockey player and I'm a soccer player, I'm going to teach you how to play hockey, vice versa? The fuck are you talking about right now? Why'd you hire me? You need to back the fuck up.
Everybody needs to work together, right? I'm telling you.
I go to a point where I send progress reports. Like, so with the client, I'm always, at the end of the day, I'll send pictures of what's done, and I'll explain very short, briefly, so they don't bother me at the end of the day. Even then, it's sometimes not good enough. And it's the last question.
Do they stop by?
Yes and no. Sometimes. Right? But yes and no. But
do they ever hover?
Not anymore. Because I have this, what they call an Italian faccia, the guts. I got this asshole face. It's like, get the fuck out of here. You need to leave. Right? You need to get the fuck out of here. Right? So, and that's just a natural face. Right? God gave me the face for that reason. But
you should put a mirror on the wall when you're laying house. It's on the back.
So they see it when they're walking in. It's like, oh, fuck. I got to turn around and leave. No, but I do that intentionally now for every reason, even just to protect myself.
Yeah.
So if they ever come back and say something, no, you have everything. I got everything. You can't debate a thing.
Yeah.
But the younger generation, for some reason, they it's crazy where this mentality comes from, that you think you know more than I do. And I find that to be my hardest job now. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm older. I'm 44 now, and I don't really give a fuck anymore.
Yep.
Right? It's just like, I'm done. Like, stop it. Go away. I promise you, it'll be done right. And if it's not, and there's something to be rectified, I promise you, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
So just back the fuck away.
Simple as that.
Right?
That's construction.
Yeah. Just leave it be. You need to trust what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Now, if I understand some people are skeptical because they're spending a lot of money. I 100% understand that. But you have to put some kind of
trust. But you're getting a lot of effort for all that money that you're paying for.
Yeah.
Fine, you've heard stories of being screwed over by other people, whether it's your friends that watch HGTV and Pinterest and all this other shit.
100%.
But you haven't worked with me, and you found me somehow, and you called me, and I'm here now, and we're getting along. You've shown me what I need to do. I've given you a price. You've agreed with it.
That's right.
Now, let me just save the world, and I'll take care of this shit.
That's right. That's it. And the other thing is that nobody likes to work under pressure. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, no, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You want it done right? You want it done good? It's going to be on what my body can handle, and it will be done. It'll be done right. But I don't care about your timeline. That's your problem. That's not mine. You want it done right? Leave me the fuck alone. I'll finish it.
What's your, okay, quickly.
Yeah.
What do you prefer for waterproofing?
It's a mix, man.
But do you have the final say, or are you getting GCs or clients making the final say on
I that? Always have the final say.
Okay, good. Because I think you guys should have it. I don't give them an option.
Like when we're doing dry pack, let's say for instance, we're doing dry pack and they're like, oh, we don't have to put a liner. I go, you put in a liner. I want two layers of waterproof.
Yeah.
I don't give them a fucking choice. I don't give a shit. I go, yeah, it's going to cost you an extra $200, $300. I don't care.
It's already in your price.
Yeah. I don't care. You're putting a liner. We're going to dry pack. And it's either I go do three layers of aqua defense, or I'm going to put Curdy. It's one or the other. But I want the liner.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I want two layers because I don't want that. 10 years down the road, there's a leak. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're doing it, and that's the way it is. I don't give them a choice. I never give them a choice.
But it's already in your price, so they don't, this is how it's going to get done. Simple as that.
No, because I've had people say, oh, I can just take it off. I go, well, you want me to take off like $300-$400?
No,
this is the way it's done, because I don't need that phone call later.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
And what do you like using? You like using Mapei?
I like Mapei stuff, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Mapei stuff. I definitely like Mapei. But again, it's always for the waterproofing aspect, it's either between aqua defense. The other thing I like about aqua defense, you got to put three thick layers, right?
Yeah.
So you got to go back dry, but... Either one. I'm okay with either or, to be honest with you, right? The thing is, when you're doing Mapei, you have to obviously seal all your corners prior, right? When you do an aqua defense, you got to seal all the corners prior. You got to fill them all prior. And you can't just fill them with cement. You got to mesh it and cement it, right? Because you got to make sure it's completely like adhered closed, right? So, but no, either way.
Is everybody these days, man, is it all just slabs, man? Nobody's doing mosaics? I know that you've done a lot of mosaics.
I've done a ton of mosaics. But,
you know, but I mean, nowadays, most clients, it's just fucking slabs.
They want the walk-in shower. They want the envelope shower floor. I've had a lot of clients where they're like, they're bringing me polished shower floors, and I refuse to do them. Like, so let's say
polished.
Yeah. So
shower floors.
So let me just example, like we're doing 24 by 48, let's just say, tiles of porcelains, right? And they'll, it's all polished, and then they'll bring me the shower floor, and like, could be a walk-in, it could be like a low profile curb, regardless. And they're like, oh, I'm like, you have to change this. Like, no. Like, you're gonna go find the matte finished tile for this floor. I don't care if it's large format, but you're gonna die if you walk in the shower and water hits it. And the stupidity of it blows my mind is because they sell, there's a lot of products, a lot of large format porcelain where they sell the matte and the polished finish.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can buy the matte for the floor.
It's almost a brother and sister kind
of. Yeah. You can buy the matte for the floor.
Yeah.
You want to slip and die when water hits it, water and soap.
Do they not like the sales rep that sold them the tile?
But that's the other thing, right? We can go into a whole different discussion in regards to, you know, selling slabs. They're just a sales rep. They're there to sell you.
I've yet to meet a sales rep that's actually installed.
This is my thing, right?
I don't know. I've never met one. So maybe there is, but I've never met
one. And this is the problem. My cousin Joey at Blue Mar has the same problem. He's like, these sales reps, they'll send me material for one of my clients. And I'm like, this is no good. We can't use this because they don't actually handle the product. They don't touch the product. They haven't cut the product. They don't know anything about it. They're just selling it to you. It's the same thing with the porcelain. Yeah, you can do polish on the floor. No. The shower floor. Soap and water hits that. It's a skating rink.
And I don't understand how they don't see that.
They don't care.
Or the sales rep doesn't see it. Because they don't care. They're so fixated on the design or whatever the selection is. The vein pattern of the white that they want.
That's right. And I like the envelope cut flooring. I like it, but it can't be polished. And why do I got to care? I'm the installer, right? Yeah. I'm going to give you what you want that day, but I'm going to force you not to do this.
But you know from experience that you can't do that, so you're letting them know.
Yeah.
Because of what you are able to do. Technology-wise, it's not a matter of not doing it, unless you want to start doing a whole kind of micro cement bullshit, like that kind of thing. You want to do all that kind of stuff, right?
I did a house that I had to get my taper in there to do a level 5 on everything for micro cement. And I looked at it, I'm like, eh. After it was done, like the micro cement, I was like, really? This is
what you... The clients wanted it.
It's like, I'm not a fan.
Anyway. Why not just move to Europe and just do the old school way? There's a reason why it had to get plastered that way, right?
But it's the designer, and I would find myself fighting with a lot of designers on the shower floors.
Because they want the polish?
They want the polish. It's fine, I've done 100
of them. I go, install them and let them fucking fall, and then they'll call you back to do a handicap shower.
Yeah, it's like literally, we're going to do a 36-inch opening now because the wheelchair's got to get in because the designer fucking decided she wanted to put a skating rink on the shower floor. Like, really? Like, come on.
And listen, everybody, I'm not laughing at handicap people. I'm laughing at that particular client who became a handicap person.
Don't get offended.
Because they didn't want to listen to the pros that a shiny floor in the shower add water is going to make you slip.
Yeah, it's just...
And no grab bars, all glass.
It's funny how you have to like specify that now, just in case you get fucking messages later stating, hey, listen, you didn't talk about handicapped people.
I'm sure you're the same way too. I think I'm fucking funny. I don't give a shit. I make jokes, I think I'm fucking funny.
I agree. Like I said, there's a special kind of humor in the construction world, right?
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I miss being on site. When I hear it.
Listen, man, I got a big house to do if you want to come fucking hang out.
I'd love to pass by. I won't be looking at you while you're working because I won't hover. I don't hover, man. I watch from a distance and I'm like, yeah, I'm in awe.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, yeah, man, the guy's fucking doing a proper job. I can always see the client, though. I can always see the designer.
Oh, yeah.
No. When I walk in, you know how you see certain people. You're not exactly who's who.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to trades... Electricians look a certain way, plumbers look, everybody looks a certain way. I get it. It doesn't matter what culture you are, but they all look a certain way. But man, the designers and the homeowners, they're almost like an albino, you know, deer or something.
You
like,
guys don't belong
they're
here.
They're just sticking out of the whole forest, right?
Well, the designers too, they're all like, you know.
First of all, they got the heels on.
Yeah.
There's no
safety. We walk in a construction site.
There isn't even a safety vest. No hard hats, never.
No. They're all dolled up all the time, right? And they got to present themselves a certain way to make it look like, you know, my $4,000 shoes justifies your $80 million fucking fireplace.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, they always blow things out of budget as well.
But then technically speaking, regarding the MOL, the clients are allowed to do, the designers are not allowed to do that.
That's right.
The clients won't get fined from the MOL.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that's a stupid rule.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that anybody who's on a job site should be wearing PPE, period.
Yeah.
I've seen kids coming running around the job site.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you guys letting your kids, like, they have no, we're aware. We're self-aware of being tradespeople on
site. Right.
We're self-aware that, you know, there's dangers around here.
You have to be attentive all the time.
Kids don't know that.
No.
They think it's a playground. It's just plywood and...
Yeah.
It's not a playground.
You have to, you kind of grow to that. Like you become attentive when you walk on a job site. It's just over the years, you're always looking, always seeing. And it's just part of who you are. right? You're always attentive.
What's going on in the new world of tile? Like, I wasn't even at IBS this year. I didn't really see much online about what was new and crazy. I know people are putting lights in niches now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yada, yada, yada. Okay, right? It doesn't blow my hair just that crazy.
Well, it's been kind of going on for a little bit. Depends on how high-end custom you went, right? Like, we've done houses like 7-8 years ago. We're putting lights in niches, right? But again, you're talking about a much higher end clientele.
Yeah,
those little quirks. Like, I even have it in my shower. Yeah. And you ask me now, was it useful? No, you can't even see it. You gotta look underneath the sheets. Like, oh, there it is. It's like pointless. It's literally pointless.
But now they're trying to, I guess, hide the drain, or they're trying to, like, Schluter's making a smaller drain now, a linear drain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right. So I haven't seen much interesting things. I know there's a company out in the States that does the air dry.
Yeah.
The blowers.
And yeah.
I'm not a fan of it.
No, who's going to stand there like with their arms out naked? Like, yeah.
No, it's about drying the whole shower, right? Like, you want to just dry the shower so for the next person. And I'm like, talk to me about the numbers, because I'm smelling $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah, easy. And
$3,000 or $4,000 is a lot of money for what you are putting in there.
No one's going to do that. Like, I'm not saying no one's gonna do it. No, people are gonna do it, but
you can do it for bragging rights.
That's what I'm talking about. That's all it's for.
I care about a shower that's has functional rights.
That's all it's for. It's just to show, right? It's like remember those old school like heat lamps? You walk out of the shower
I remember those.
Right? It's like, how long do you actually stand under that lamp when you get out of the shower? You're getting out, getting your towel, and leaving. You're not standing there. It's just because you said you have.
I think you'd be better off putting heated cables in the wall, and that'll heat up the atmosphere in the shower.
Yeah, but what's the purpose really?
But the problem is the ESA won't allow you to do that. You can't go vertical with heated cables.
Well, I'm even just saying in general, like even the drying system. Like, what's the purpose?
It's just to dry the shower, so then the next person that comes in doesn't have to wait for a dry shower. You're entering a room that you're going to get wet.
Yeah,
that's the purpose of the room.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't
but everybody
make any
wants
sense.
To start their shower dry.
Yeah,
that makes no sense because everybody sense. I know turns the water on to get it to temp.
That's right.
So then the shower
gets
wet.
That's right.
So why do we need to dry the shower? The first thing you do is wet the shower.
Anything you can sell, it doesn't.
It's a marketing bullshit.
Yeah, it's complete bullshit. First, you're walking into a moisture-driven room, period. Right, and the toilet sinks, shower, like, what the fuck? It doesn't make sense.
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. And then you get people, I guess, they're trying to figure out how many more heads they can throw in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm a fan. I've done one before. I did a sauna, shower, you know, like,
yeah.
You had that. And that was interesting to do that.
Yeah.
But it's very expensive.
It is.
There's health benefits associated with it.
Yes,
so
of
that's
course.
Why 100%. I believe in it. It makes sense to do that. I also think that, in my opinion, I think sauna should be part of the building code. I think every house deserves a sauna in the basement.
Even
something.
Just for health benefits.
Yeah, health benefits.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1,000%.
I think it should be in the code.
I agree wholeheartedly. There's not enough stuff that's that in
it doesn't benefit politicians. Yeah. That's why it's not in the code.
Of course not. But they can have it. They're allowed to have four of them if they want to. Right? As long as you're paying for it. It doesn't matter. It's fucking pricks.
They probably took down the last cedar tree in a certain area
of
indigenous people or something like that.
Yeah,
they're like
burning it in their backyard in their fire pit. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
They're making salmon on the rest of the offcuts or something.
1,000%. Yeah. These fucking guys are twisting that.
What else do you want to talk about before I get to the 12 questions there, Paul?
Oh, we got 12 questions.
Yeah, I got 12 questions for you at the end. I sent them to you. But no, you okay, so you guys basically handle everything. You're doing slabs, you're doing granite, you're doing... I like seeing the old school natural, man. I'm not a huge porcelain guy.
Yeah.
I don't...
So do I. I agree. So my
old school, man.
My thing is, you know, when I see people like buying like, you know, quartz, and I have really good, really nice quartz now that it's like, the veining seems right through.
Yeah.
From like Germany. If you go to Germany, they have a lot of it. But it's like, you're given the impression of natural stone for the cost difference is so minimal in regards to real stone and the quartz. The real stone and the quartz. Why? Why? I respect and prefer natural beauty.
Yeah.
And I appreciate natural beauty over anything else.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the same as you.
I had a slab guy on the show and we were talking. I like the natural patina.
I agree.
Of family get-togethers.
I agree.
Where you damaged certain things or you left stains for a reason because it was a family get-together.
Yeah. But see, it's also probably European culture in you, right? That's what it is, right? We come from a place that everything's natural stone. Everything's
I don't want a magazine photograph.
Yeah, I know. Room.
I want it to be characterized.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I like the natural stones. Yeah. So I'll always choose. I know that the majority of the industry is trying to push the natural out and use this whole maintenance-free bullshit.
That's the whole
thing. It's not maintenance-free.
No, it's not. The whole and first of all, porcelain, when you do porcelain countertops, it ends up costing, again, the same if not more because porcelain, let's say you're buying a half-inch porcelain slab and you want to do a countertop with it, you have to back it with plywood.
You have to back it, I know.
Right, you have to double back it, you have to, it's more work.
You have to miter everything, you're mitering the edging.
And when a porcelain cracks, you can't rectify it.
You can't fix it.
You can't rectify. You get a hairline in it, you're fucked, you're done, you're finished. That's it.
It has to be replaced.
That's it, right? So, but anyway, in regards to the natural beauty, yeah, I agree. My whole ensuite is natural stone. My whole it's all of it. We put reveals in the baseboards and then everything, wainscoting and it, like, and I love natural stone. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love the natural beauty of it. Yes, is it maintenance? I tell people, yes, it is. It's what do you want? Do you want a Toyota or you want a Ferrari? What do you want? The Ferrari's going to cost you $2,000 to do an oil change. The Toyota's going to cost you $80.
But there's maintenance in everything.
I agree.
You've got to change light bulbs.
I agree.
You've got to wash your clothes more than once in your lifetime. Like, it's just, there's maintenance, man.
I just say, if you're going to spend the money, go with the natural beauty. And again, I mean, that's the old school mentality, man, but that's...
But then maybe sometimes you get the Greta Thunberg idiots talking about, well, you're destroying Mother Nature by pulling it out of the ground. Yeah, here we go with
that fucking nonsense
bullshit. Okay, all right, well, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I? Well, there's a quarry there for a reason.
Yeah. People don't understand, like, you know, like, a quarry's got something like eight or 10 levels to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And every level takes like 80 to 100 years to go through. You know any fucking mountains of stone there?
There's a lot. That's what I'm saying.
Like, shut the fuck up.
There's a lot.
And from everywhere around the world.
What I want to know is, give me the carbon footprint behind all the man-made stuff.
All the carbon bullshit.
And
bullshit.
How that's going to be made.
That's completely...
Give me that and compare that bullshit.
I love how they're sitting here with non-scientific-based fucking facts. To say carbon is... shut the fuck up. Like, honestly, we have scientists already debating that and saying this is all bullshit. You just want to control and... fucking tax us to oblivion. Like, get the fuck out of here with that nonsense.
I was driving the other day and all of a sudden you notice that all the EV vehicles have the green license plates.
Yeah.
So I'm on the phone at the time as I'm driving around and I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, please tell me those license plates cost more to produce.
Yeah, for sure.
And the paint, the color green is actually more harmful for the environment. Yeah. There's higher, like, please tell me that this is all just more expensive to produce that one particular license plate that shines a huge light to everybody saying, I'm so green. I'm amazing because I'm driving an EV. Because I don't believe it, man.
No. It's all bullshit.
I don't care. If you want to drive it as a consumer, that's a vehicle you want to choose, then great. But you're not saving the planet.
Yeah, if you're pumping your fucking arms, like, I'm you're not doing shit. Like, honestly, if anything, you're asking to be controlled completely.
Well, it was good that I read an article that the Cybertruck is a complete failure now.
It's a piece of shit.
It's a complete... It's a financial failure. They can't even take them back. They're not even taking them back for trade-ins.
There's two people...
Aesthetically, I don't care, but functionally, it makes no sense as a truck. But
that's the whole purpose of a truck is to be a 4x4 to go through the mud, to run climate.
It's a failure. It's a financial failure.
It's a complete...
I said that when they first announced it. I said, guys, I want to see how
it's... I don't even understand how people actually think they look nice. Okay, let's put aside the fact that, okay, it's cool. Okay, it's not that cool. It's a fucking box with four wheels.
I do like the trash can memes that are associated with it. Oh, yeah, where it's a parking lot and then there's a trash can box like there.
Throw your recycling in the back of it. It's like, oh shit, that's a car? Oh my goodness.
Listen, if you love it and you think it's great, wonderful, great, yeah, but yeah. I don't think you're saving the planet. It's your choice.
No, whatever. No, not at all. I agree. I think
it's... And unfortunately, in America, they're all attacking, like you got the climate police and that's that. Talk about irony there, right? Oh, you're saving the planet by destroying the EVs.
Yeah.
Putting them on fire, which is the worst fire that you can have, battery fires.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, people.
Yeah, they don't go out, right? They don't go out.
But they're dangerous as hell. I'm trying to get a firefighter who actually specifically has...
Because I heard they have to wait for it to like burn out. You can't, no matter how much police water escort, you put on it.
Bring it to a field.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, there's a whole deal. So it's a major deal. If it catch, so now you got people vandalizing them on purpose, catching on fire on purpose. And I'm like, so what are you doing now? I don't understand how that works. But then you can't really reason with people like that, man.
No. I'm too blinded.
Paul PVD Tile at PVD Tile on IG, www.pvdtile.ca, 647-403-7251.
Yeah, man.
PVD underscore tile at hotmail.com. Anything else you want to share before we...
No.
What's your favorite natural stone? I'm still trying to
figure out. Nero Macuina.
Which one?
Nero Macuina.
What's that look like?
It's like black. It's a black with a lot of white and gold veining in it. It's classic.
It's a granite or is it a marble?
Nero Macuina is more of a marble.
It's a marble?
Yeah, it's more of a marble, yeah. It's beautiful. It's classic. You can't never go wrong with black and white because it's timeless.
You can't, see, here's the thing. You can't texturize or leather any man-made stones.
No.
You can only do it to natural stones. That's right. And when I first saw texturing and leathering stones for the first time.
Stunning. And depending on the stone.
Depending on the stone.
Right. Exactly. Somebody get more depth. It's...
And I think it's a work of art.
It is.
I love it.
I agree.
That's what a lot of clients don't understand.
No, they don't see it.
They don't want to ask a professional.
No.
What's your thought? What's your thought?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it.
Well, they do ask, but at the same time, they
dismiss it.
They completely.
They listen to their friends and their family and their Pinterest and interests and HGTV people.
Yeah.
They listen to the pros, the committee of pros.
Yeah. The ones that get paid already to do nothing.
Ready for this?
Yeah, let's go.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
A person I would trade places with for a day. My son.
How old is he?
He's 7 turning 8. He'll be 8 in June.
Yeah. Guilty pleasure.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I... Oh, well, guilty pleasure to the gym. Yeah.
Least favorite tool.
Least favorite tool. Oh, fuck, I don't even know if there is one.
You like them all?
They're all useful. Well, most of them, the ones I use at least. Least favorite tool.
I think the number one tool that's been expressed under that, if you actually just use the idea of a tool, because other people have used metaphorically, like even Trudeau has been expressed as a least favorite tool.
Well, that's
it. But
politicians. Can I say that? Yeah, does that work?
Of course you can. I think they're right. Tools.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say the number one tool has been an oscillating tool. Is the least favorite tool because it's just a noise level behind it.
Right? You know what? You're absolutely right.
The politicians, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Biggest risk you ever took.
Biggest risk I ever took. I don't know if I would classify it as a risk now after I've done it. Because I think initially, like buying my first house at 23.
That's a big risk.
I know, but that's what I mean. I don't know if I would classify it as a risk now because it was kind of a norm.
No, we're talking about your lifetime.
Yeah, so that and my second home I guess that would be it. I that gave me an ulcer at 23 years old. It actually gave me an ulcer.
You were stressed.
I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. So, and I didn't really have guidance how to deal with it.
Of course.
So I actually went to that member because I had this burning in my chest and my throat. And I ended up going to the doctor. He's like, what's going on in your life? Like, what's been happening? And I was like, I just bought a house. He goes, and I expressed them. And obviously, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Wow.
And he goes, you have an ulcer. So that was probably the most stressful thing I've done in my life.
How do you get rid of an ulcer?
I don't even remember the.
Do you have to reduce your stress?
It was something like just learn to relax. It wasn't. He didn't give me any kind of medication. Mind you, I'm not a big medication guy.
No.
So I don't remember exactly the what he had given. It was more just to calm down and relax and everything.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah, but I was 23 and I didn't really know what the fuck I was doing. Right, in regards to getting a mortgage, how do I do this? How do I pay? Like I didn't. Right, and I managed to do it, but it gave me an ulcer. That was probably the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Best compliment you ever got?
Best compliment I ever got. I don't know if I hold those too many. I don't have. I don't have anything that comes to mind. No, to be honest with you. Like, you're just saying, you know, somebody saying a good job, you did a good job. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, don't thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay, but it's my job. I don't really think it as a compliment. Like, yeah, that's it. It's not like, so.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, oh, I'm a good father. Okay, how about that?
That's a compliment.
Yeah.
What's your favorite beverage?
I don't really have one.
You don't have a favorite beverage?
Like, beverage, we're talking about alcohol.
We're
talking
anything.
Okay, so alcohol, cognac, and vodka in regards to like just like taste testing kind of thing. And then water. I don't drink anything else but water.
What never fails to make you laugh?
My kids.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Honestly, never thought about that.
Stay construction?
I would stay in construction, maybe GC.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe GC. Because I've always found out sometimes I always end up like managing half a fucking house with all the people I know. How did I end up here?
I was just chatting with somebody and one of the trades went up to the GC and he said, listen, I got my issues as a trade. I have to deliver my job.
Yeah.
And I got to deal with the clients and I got to deal with everything on my level of the trade.
Yeah.
But as a GC, he looked at him and was going, you have to do that for every single trade.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
that's true.
And the only reason why I would say that is just because I'm comfortable with the construction industry, right? That's the only reason why I would say it. But yeah. I've never actually put it into thought, to be honest, because I've just done construction my whole life.
Worst piece of advice. Oh, sorry. We already did that. Did we? No.
No,
we didn't do that one.
Worst piece of advice I ever got was from a family member that didn't want well for me and told me I couldn't do it.
I don't get this, man.
Remember, we go back to family.
Yeah, I know. I just don't get it.
And then I did it.
Yeah.
And so.
I just don't get that people would actually verbalize.
He knows who he is. Go fuck yourself.
GFY, man. GFY. Favorite curse word?
Fuck shit. Fucking shit.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Favorite vehicle? Honestly, I like my F-150.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm happy.
Nice.
I don't.
Nice, man. Gets the family around and takes care of business. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
You were a good man to your family. You're a good son. That's it.
See, these are like the simplest and almost the biggest things to achieve in life.
People don't understand that. That's a big
how
deal.
Valuable
that's a,
it is,
that's
right?
A big deal for me.
Yeah.
And I make mistakes, like we all do. Of course. But it's just, that's
how
that's
you handle them and how important. You move forward is what makes who you are.
I agree.
It's important, right?
Yeah, so, I agree.
Paul, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, man.
And I don't and like anybody who's offended. I'm like, don't fucking listen, man. Like,
are we gonna do like a reminder after every show?
No, or before every show. No, like, right? You know, occasionally you get someone brave enough to send me a message. You're like, listen, I like your show, but occasionally there's a few little.
Well, tell them to fucking come
right or left or, and I'm like, listen, man, that's like.
Personal opinion is based on the person who said it.
Yeah.
Does it make it factual for you? It's based off perspective, your own personal perspective. So,
I have a lot of respect that come like yourself, like come on the show and talk, first of all, because a lot of people, first of all, they're scared shitless to be public speaking.
Yeah.
And they're nervous about what they might say and what have you. But the people that are criticizing these people will never do this.
Well, in respect to you, you make it easy to be comfortable in the show.
Thanks, man.
Okay? So.
Well, the point is, like, it's not that I've been doing it for so long. It's just like...
Well, it's your demeanor. It's your energy. That's what it is.
Conversation is important,
100%.
Man. Like, I'm right now tackling a bullshit thing that I don't understand because I keep on asking for, can we have a face-to-face meeting?
Yeah.
Like, we're all older people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm tired of being the playground bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to do this through text. Yeah. I want to have a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you read people's body language when it's a face-to-face meeting.
You're right.
Nobody can hide bullshit behind a face-to-face meeting. You can hide it behind text.
1,000%.
So I don't want text, and I don't want hidden. I want results.
Yeah.
I want to resolve shit.
I believe those face-to-face meetings are generally held for the people that have some kind of attachment to you in your life, right? That you have respect for. That's the only reason why you're gonna have a face to face.
And then
it's not, it's like, fuck you, here's a text message, go fuck yourself, leave me alone.
And when you insist on that and going down that path, what it makes me think and what I know is you don't want to fucking basically discuss anything and you're hiding a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm not interested in bullshit.
Of course.
I'm like you said, I'm too fucking
we're
old. Too
we're getting too old.
I'm looking forward to another 10 years, I'll be in my 60s, and I'm like, dude. You have no idea how quick I'll be regarding bullshit meter.
Yeah.
Like anybody says anything stupid, I'll just be like, where did Manny go?
Yeah. Like he's gone. Back door. He's fucking done. He's finished. Yeah,
that's it. But if you want to hang out, I'll share you some fucking stories.
Yeah.
Amazing. Simple as that, man. So Paul, thank you very much, man.
Manny, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're out of here.